Now have your attention, please. Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Yisrael, a future priest of Dai Hawkins. I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. Now have your attention, please. Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Yisrael Abel Shiloh Hawkins. I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary. And I present one of the sons of Yisrael Abel, Buffalo Bill Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone! You may be seated. May the peace be with you and every one of you. Now, our title today is The Computers for Peace Will Bring War. Now, Pastor in the Mark of the Beast put the gematria in here, and I'm going to show you the gematria in here. You see that? It equals up to 666, which is the mark of the beast. Now, in the mark of the beast, Pastor on page 149 talks about this computer for peace. Now, it says, on page 149, it says, the idea of using computers for peace started in 1978 with Dr. Henry Hemlock, developer of the Hemlock method of dislodging obstructions in the throat. Dr. Hemlock suggested that the computers could make the world breathe easier. In a Computers for Peace proposal, he asked then President Jimmy Carter and current leaders of Egypt and Israel to consider this proposal at a September 5th, 1978 meeting they were scheduled to convene. Now, those were the leaders of Egypt and Israel at that time. Dr. Hemlock suggested that the computers could analyze resources and demonstrate the advantages of cooperation among the nations. He said the method is surely more positive than present traditional attempts at armed control by regulating the number of warheads and missiles. Dr. Hemlock envisioned using the computers to supply the world's needs. Recently, the Computers for Peace has come into a totally different means of bringing peace to the world. Brother Austin David Carroll, member of the Christian Brothers Roman Catholic Order, made it known in a presentation on June the 4th, 1982, of a planned computerized peacemaking. Now, Carroll holds a doctorate at the Computer Science in the New York University. He is the director of data processing for the New York Archdiocese. This fully outlined plan was presented to the Pope by letter. The Pope will approve this plan, which means that this plan will advance the wealth of the Catholic Church. The Peace Computer is located in Spring Lake, New Jersey on 1711 Ocean Avenue. The directors of this mansion center are Cyrus Vance, former Secretary of State, Kurt Waldheim, former Secretary General to the United Nations, Peter Grace, advisor to Ronald Reagan, and Claire Booth Luce. Now, also at this peace computer was Alexander Haig, a former Secretary of State, White House Chief of Staff, and former Secretary of the Treasury. Now, Pastor says here, Haig is a Catholic. He also has a brother who is a Jesuit priest and head of the Jesuit University. Skipping over to page 152, it says, The Vatican is once again using its political powers as a means of promoting peace. Like it or not, the prophecies will show that the Vatican will become a major power in international politics. Here now, if you'll turn to page 531 in your books of Yahweh, page 531, it's Isaiah 2, let's look at verse 8. It says, their way is the way of God's. And see, with the knowledge, with the technology that they used to invent this computer is the same technology they used to create the bomb. And that's all they can use it for. They can't use the computer for bringing peace, like the House of Yahweh uses the computer for bringing peace. And they worship the work of their own hands. They don't worship Yahweh. They don't keep the laws of Yahweh, that which their own fingers had made. Now, if you'll turn to page 680 in your books of Yahweh, page 680 is Daniel 8, and let's look at verse 25. It says, and through his policy he will cause craft and deceit. That's what we saw in Genesis. That's what Yahweh shows in Genesis 3:5, that Satan was crafty to succeed in his hand, and he will magnify himself in his heart, and by peace he will destroy many. By the use of this peace computer, he's going to destroy many people. He will stand up against the prince of princes, but he will be broken without hands. Now, in conclusion, I'd like to say the Pope is prophesied to be sent along and to destroy many by the use of what he says he's going to bring peace to the world. He's going to be settling crafting. Destroy mankind with that peace. So this time, everyone will please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great Daughters of Yisrael label.
Spoiled eggs, potatoes, maybe sweet tea. And now, if y'all please stand, I'll turn it over to the great son of Yishael Abel Hawkins, Deacon Yishael Abel.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my sermon today is Yahweh Has Given All of Us Talents. Now, if you'll turn over to Matithiah, Matithiah 25. And let's look at verse 14. And it says, "For the kingdom of Yahweh will be like a man going on a journey into a far country, who summoned his own servants and handed his possessions over to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability, and immediately went on his journey." So he gives more to some, and then a little less to others, according to what they can handle, and the zeal that they put towards learning to love what he gives them, and increasing their abilities to handle higher jobs. Let's look at verse 16. It says, "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made with them 5 more talents. He who had received 2 did the same, and also gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his ruler's money. After a long time, the ruler of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Then he who had received 5 talents came forward and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Ruler, you handed me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained 5 other talents above those.'" Verse 21, "His ruler said to him, 'Well done, righteous and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your ruler.' He also, who had received 2 talents, came forward and said, 'Ruler, you handed me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents above those.' His ruler said to him, 'Well done, righteous and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your ruler.'" Now, if you'll go over to Luke chapter 19, and let's look at verse 15, which is another parable here. And verse 15 says, "But when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to be summoned to him, to whom he had given the minas, that he might know how much each man had gained by trading. So the first one came, saying, 'Ruler, your mina has gained 10. Your mina has gained 10 minas. And he said to him, 'Well done, faithful servant, because you are trustworthy over a very little, you will have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, 'Ruler, your mina has gained 5 minas. And he said to him, "You will also be over 5 cities. So in Matithiah 25, we see here that the ones that got 5 talents went and made 5 more. The one that he gave 2 went and made 2 more. But the person that got 1 went and hid it in the earth. And then, as you saw in Luke, they also doubled theirs. Now back to Matithiah 25 and verse 24. It says, "Then he who had received the 1 talent came forward and said, 'Ruler, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed.'" And let's go over to Luke 19 and verse 20 here. It says, "But another came, saying, 'Ruler, behold, here is your mina, which I have kept stored away in a piece of cloth. I feared you because you are a harsh man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow.' So he said to him, 'Out of your own mouth I will judge you, wicked servant. You knew that I was a harsh man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, so at my coming I might have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. In the second book of Israel, going on to perfection, number 43, and verse 33, pastor here, he's reading from this scripture, and he says, verse 25, "So I was afraid." He started making excuses is what he did. His mind, his love, was not developed toward what Yeshua had given him. He let the little nigs and nags of family living take him the other way. He did not stand up or uphold what Yahweh had actually given him to deal with. Verse 26, "His ruler answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed.'" He doesn't deny that he is a strict ruler according to Yahweh's judgments, statutes, and laws. Yeshua lived by these laws, and he taught them. He was very stern with them, obeying them himself, and instructing his disciples to obey these laws, statutes, and judgments. Yahweh's laws guided his thoughts and his life. That is the only way they will become part of your life, and it is the only way you can develop a love for them. And that was from the second book of Israel. So, Yeshua let Yahweh's laws guide his thoughts and his life. And that's what we should do. We should also let Yahweh's laws guide our thoughts and our life. In the 11th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 15, verse 39, about halfway through the verse, pastor says here, "You know, Yeshua, he used these words and he said, 'You know that many are called, few are chosen.' And he said, they start making excuses. He said, he gave them talents and then they said, 'Well, I can't do this right now. I got something else to do.' Well, and then he showed that even after they're here for a while, they still fall away. Well, what else is there to do other than the work of Yahweh? Leave the work of Yahweh and get buried in debt? There is nothing else that's more important than Yahweh's work. In the 8th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 18, and verse 49, pastor says here, "Well, see, you can't have excuses. Yahweh hates excuses. He wants obedience, not excuses. I know you were busy when you were asked to teach a class. You were sick. You had your throat hurting. So do I. My throat is burning right now. And I know you have all these excuses that you can do rather than learn the ways of Yahweh, practice teaching others, and so forth. You can come up with all kinds of excuses, but see, that doesn't put the oil in your lamp. You virgins that are lacking and sleeping and so forth, what puts the oil in your lamps is the studying, doing what you're commanded to do by Yahweh in the Holy Scriptures, studying and then putting it to practice, practicing this righteousness." So Yahweh hates excuses. He wants obedience. No excuses, only results. In a recent song on the latest CD, entitled "It's Harvest Time," it's a song entitled "Talents." And verse 1, the third line here, it says, "Since the beginning of our walk with Yahweh, he has given us talents according to what we could take. And now he's only waiting to see if we will produce or bury." And then in the chorus it says, "So take the 5 that Yahweh gave you and make it 10 more reasons that he did. The 2 he gave you, make it 4, but don't stop there when you can make it more. So double them, triple them." Verse 2 here, it says, "Don't ever think you have a limit to all the ways you can serve. Yahweh put you here for a reason. There's always so much you could learn. The man and the woman, the young and old, they all have their place. Your actions add up now, and if you don't, they will be taken away from the book of life. Your talents too, and there's so much to do." So it said the man and the woman, the young and old, even the children, you know, your actions are adding up now. And in the responsibility unit, it says that if you're responsible, you know, you're going to receive more responsibilities because you've shown that you can be responsible for those things. Let's go back over to Luke chapter 19 In verse 24, it says, Then he said to those who stood by, "Take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. But they said to him, "Ruler, he already has 10 minas. And I say to you, to everyone who has will be given, but from him who has not, even that which he had will be taken from him." So remember, double them, triple them, quadruple them. Don't bury them, but produce more, so that more will be given to you. And remember what Yeshua said in Luke. You know, "You knew I was a harsh man." Yeshua is strict with the laws, with the obedience with the laws, as Yahweh, or as a pastor said in the book of Israel. So don't bury your talents. Produce more, double them, and don't stop there. And with that, if you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to turn the services over to the great Khan Ilya.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Of course, following today's news, there's always exciting times with prophecies being fulfilled. And first up this morning, you're going to see President Obama. And notice his dress attire. President Obama speaking here, and he's saying that he's seeking, with this bill that he signed, seeking a peaceful way, a solution to Iran. And he's searching for that. But remember, back in the UN, just a few years ago, President Obama himself acknowledged that peace does not come through resolutions and signing of bills. It's hard work, and it is hard work. And the House of Yahweh has always spoke out, letting President Obama know that we're here to help him or any world leader, any person, any individual that wants to find peace. We're willing to work together as we're finding peace in our lives. So pay close attention to what he says. Also, the Syrian conflict, it shows how much more it has been growing, even though it's not been on headline news as much as some things in Ukraine and other parts. But watch, they go in and they show how much money the United States is making out of the misery in the Middle East, and it's in the billions of dollars. Also, a shootout at a restaurant here in Waco, Texas, over 170 people arrested, 9 people murdered. And, of course, the police officer saying that this could take place in any state in the United States of America, and it truly could. So remember that the next time you want to stop off at a restaurant. Imagine how many people, 170 people were involved in that. I don't know how many people fit in that restaurant, but it had to be pretty packed. Also, Boy Scouts. Now, this was a group of people that were supposedly trained to teach boys to become men, but they're teaching and they're pushing for gay leadership. And they're saying that they better get it done before they're forced to do it by the government itself. And then Russia's embassy in Damascus was recently shelled. And, of course, this is agitating Russia even more, because they're linking it back, saying that Saudi Arabia is the one actually behind this. Now, whether they are or not, then remember who Saudi Arabia gets their weapons from. They get them from the United States of America. So there's a lot of tension building here, because to accuse Saudi Arabia, you're saying America has a part into it, and that's some more of that friction taking place. Also, smartphones being hacked. They show from an article in Canada how they can get into your smartphone just through an app that you put on your phone. And of course, if you have a smartphone, just about all of us have apps, and they can get into your phones and they can spy on you. But how much more can this get into certain items? If they can get something on your phone, how many people connect their phones to their computers? Remember what took place at the Pentagon with all this information being stolen, as we showed a few weeks ago with flash drives. A lot of information stolen. And then there's more articles out on police brutality. Pay close attention to the one in Virginia. It was Fredericksburg, Virginia. A man was having a medical emergency. He's literally incapacitated at the wheel. And they don't check to see what's really wrong with him before they tase him, shoot pepper spray in his face, pull him out of the car. His car runs over his foot. And then they realize he's having a medical emergency. So keep that in mind, because it's not the people, it's the system and the way they're trained. Now, they want to say where our officers aren't trained to behave this way, but we're seeing this all around the world. And it's due to an education or a lack of education in how to treat people. And then we go into the correctional facility, showing, it actually shows a man die. So I want to warn you, when you watch it, it shows a man literally in the last moments of his life as he's dying. And pay attention to how he dies and why he dies. And it's a lack of care for life. And I would encourage these people. There's a warden up in Delhart, Texas, that we just showed on the news not long ago, that said the inmates there were not a problem. It was the officers. And of course, that facility also has a peaceful solution training the inmates, and that's most likely why they're not a problem. It's the officers. And also, to close it out, once again, more verification. They're asking for the Bibles to be removed from the bedrooms, and they're tearing down statues of Pope John Paul in France. People are wanting this religion out of their lives, speaking of the Catholic religion, and also they're leaving in Grove still, leaving this church, leaving this religion. And I think a guy at the coffee shop says it best, they're leaving due to the hypocrisy that's taught in the churches. There's no peace in it. So at this time, if we could go ahead and play the news. Please stand. I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Man, where'd y'all all come from? We got a full house. Praise the Lord. All the way back to the back, too. Let's go. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I would hate to be in the Pope's shoes right now. Poor thing. All of his people are leaving him. It's going to get worse. The great falling away. If anyone wants to read about it, you can. Yahweh's clapping hands up there too. Did you hear that? Yeah. Praise Yahweh. We recognize it, Yahweh. had world military spending. It's not going down either. $1.7 trillion. I think our great deacon, Tobia Grinowich Hawkins, has got more on that for you. But it's $1.7 trillion now. In warships and nuclear bombs and you name it. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. I've got some announcements I've got to do. Let's see. The popularity of the House of Yahweh, if I can find it here, I think I've got it. Maybe it's covered up here. We were about 3 on Google last week. We were down to 6 before this article came out. This news article that we released this week. Yisrael Hawkins calls on all religions to wake up and I can't read the rest of that. Let's see. Calls on all religions to wake up and make drastic changes to end suffering. In newsletter, pastor at the House of Yahweh and so on. And we were down to number 6, and then somebody sent me another one this morning. And guess where we are now? You see that? Pope Francis, you need to change religions. Let's see, do I want this? No, not right now. I thought that was pretty neat. And Yahweh is opening the doors to the people. The people are finding out, you know, that the name Jesus and Christ, now they're finding out these are false gods that came from Egypt, that was actually brought out of Egypt, and then their hearts turned back to Egypt. But these two gods were worshipped, the sun and the sun god, in Egypt, and of course the Queen of Heaven, who they now call Mary, trying to disguise her, you know, too. They've tried to hide everything in their religions to keep anyone from finding out about it. So you know, this is making them look sick now, because the people are finding out there's nothing but lies there in the religions. And when you get people like Pat Robertson, who has the 700 Club, I've never advertised that before, but I think I will now, who actually confesses that these names are false, and the name is actually Yahweh instead of God. If Yahweh is willing, and I think He is, we're going to have 3 days of feasting. Which means we need help at the cafeteria, by the way. If you got an hour or so, or 2 hours, or whatever, check in with Ria Chiquina or one of the many workers over there, and get us some help. Give us a helping hand. I hope to cover in this 3 days now, I hope to cover some very timely information. The president, if you notice, the president is also speaking the same thing we are. And of course, he's suffering some flack. I don't know if you saw that or not, but there's a lot of news articles trying to justify Christianity and its murders down through the years. And if they search a little and search the history of Christianity, they're going to find out some truths that's going to shock them, because the same thing that's going on with ISIS, they're kosher killing some people, I guess, from what they say on the news, with a knife. And, of course, if you know anything about kosher killing, you know, it's pretty much painless, except for that first sting. The Christians, they fed them to the lions, they fed them to tigers and things like this. Circe came in and got the dead bodies that was left over from the great kills. That sister Circe, she's quite a woman now in mythology. You know, she actually has great power according to their mythology, which of course is a big lie. She had a pig farm, much like Jody Sparland had in the land of Purcell. I would have took pictures of that, moving pictures. He took every dead animal he could pick up. All you had to do is send him a letter and say, depending on what time the postman, how long it takes to get this letter, he'll be so many days old, and he's dead out here in my field, come get him. So Jody Sparland would go and pick him up in his winch truck. That was one of the first vehicles that was started due to the knowledge increase, a gasoline vehicle. And he'd pick these animals up, take them to his pig farm, like Circe did with the wagons, and feed them to the animals, just dump them off. And of course, they were eaten. This was still going on in Grim, Texas, to just a number of years ago, a few years ago. And of course, the pigs will eat anything. They'll even eat a buzzard. Dogs won't eat a pig, but pigs will eat a dead dog. You know, it kind of shows their, you know, what they were actually designed to do, and to clean up the earth. That's what they were designed to do. Well, Circe helped them along, and of course, Circe means church, and that's where they got the word church, congregation, a gathering up of dead bodies. And she'd take them, and now mythology said she turns her enemies. The enemies, of course, were House of Yahweh followers. They were ones who were following Yahshua and his disciples. And they were killed by the thousands. Some historians say billions were killed. And of course, the Muslims who came later, from the scriptures, of course. The Muslims, they had a little bit of knowledge, still do. And several other groups besides them had a little bit of knowledge. I was reading one this week that the difference in them and the Catholic Church, and the reason the Catholic Church hated them was because they believed in a resurrection. They believed in righteousness versus evil and death. And of course, with the Catholics, you know, you never die, they say. Well, that's the lie that Satan told in the beginning. And the Savior called her a liar and says she lies about everything. And she does. The Christianity is full of lies. Santa Claus comes down the chimney. There's their number one lie. No, their number two lie. They got a number two lie that's actually topping that one. That's Halloween that the Pope wants to name Holyween. Holyween now. Maybe they'll name it Holy Wiener and put some pork wieners in there, you know, for the children to get a hold of, to give them some of these spirits that's inside them. Wow, what a treat, huh? Well, the history of religion now, it's being brought out and by the president and the Crusades. And he's bringing out this. He didn't bring out much. We have covered much more than he has, and of course he's suffering some of the hatred that we have suffered because of telling this truth. But everything we put out, we can back up with history, and they know it, so they don't challenge us, because if they challenged us, we would present in court, you know, their courts. Here's where we got it, right here. They wrote most of this themselves. Well, when did all this persecution or crusade start? Started a long time before they admitted in history. They say 410 to 430 A.D. Well, they're lacking a few thousand years there getting their history in. Why did it start and what will stop it? We know, and we're going to tell it, Yahweh willing. I was supposed to mention about the raw peanut butter. They're saying on the news that it's a great... there's Beelzebub back this morning. The raw peanut butter, I don't know if you've seen it on the television or not, but it's they're advertising that it helps you to lose weight. I don't know of anyone here that needs to lose weight, but if you do... They say instead of eating that big steak of a night before you go to bed, try a little bit of raw peanut butter and some crackers. It kills the appetite. You sleep like a baby. Your stomach doesn't have to your stomach doesn't have to fight what you put in it before you went to bed. It takes this readily. And don't forget to take your honey immediately before you go to bed. Your liver, if you take a tablespoon of honey before you go to bed, your liver will latch on to that honey. Honey and butter shall you eat. Remember that. And salt. Take salt and sugar. Sugar. Yes, that's what the doctors give you when you get rid of those things out of your body and you go to the hospital. They start supplying you with a solution of salt and sugar. Don't forget the sugar. Don't forget the honey. But your liver will latch on to that honey if you take it the last thing before you go to bed, just a tablespoonful, and it will heal itself with that honey. It uses it to heal itself. Most people get trouble because they get cirrhosis of the liver. Of course, that cirrhosis of the liver is caused by, you should know this by now, STDs. Yes, they're actually bringing this out now. The scientists are proving, yes, it's caused by STDs. So is cancer. What did I tell you 40 years before they told you? Well, this was this is a wonderful thing. I was trying to think of a man's name, Lester
What?
Perkins.
What?
Perkins?
No?
Williams.
Lester Williams. He is a member of the House of Yahweh, and he came here when we were still in the old sanctuary in town on 10P Lane. He was 90-something years old, and to see him dance around with the great Kohan Benaiah's music box, you'd think he was much younger than that. But he sold me on this raw peanut butter because he stayed at my place, and I took care of him. He just went around picking up rocks and cleaning up land, and he just did what he wanted to do. I didn't care. I was just glad to be around the man. but he wanted raw peanut butter, and we couldn't find it in Abilene. And I finally found it down east of here on 36 at a peanut mill, peanut co-op. And I told the guy I wanted it just raw, and he said, "Well, I'm not sure he would eat that if it's just raw. Don't you want me to roast it?" I said, "No." He said, "Raw." So he said, "I'm not sure how long that'd keep." And I said, "Well, he keeps it a long time. He keeps eating it for a long time." And he didn't even keep it in the refrigerator. But it kept for a long time, and it had all the ingredients, you know, that protected the peanut, butter. So anyway, I said, "The man is 93 years old, and that's his number one food." And the guy said, "I don't think we could argue with that." So he went ahead and ground the raw peanut butter. Well, anyway, we have it. Praise Yahweh. Ask for it at the cafeteria or the general stores. If you remember in last week where I left off, the opposing Babylon, that's what's bringing them down. They're falling. And of course, the Catholic Church, if you remember, it doesn't fall easy. The people of Yahweh, Yeshua's followers, tried to bring it down years ago. Yochanan came out and tried to change it. You remember, he said, "It's not right for you to have your brother's wife." They say that was Christianity, that John was a Christian. They called him John. What Christians today tells you that you're not to commit fornication or adultery? The Pope encourages that along with sodomy. Now, the Pope was in charge at that time, too. And, of course, he carried a different name, and they carried a different name for the religion. They had four of them, by the way: Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodian. Well, of course, he was arrested, and they cut off his head for telling him that he was going to go to hell if he didn't repent of his sins. And that's what he was saying. These were his sermons. Repent. You know, I'm telling you myself, he said. But he said, "There's one coming after me that's going to carry fire with him." And this is where you're going to be burned, because he's going to be your judge. And of course, that one is now high priest over the house of Yahweh. Yes. That's Yahshua that was prophesied of. He was actually prophesied in Genesis 4. Genesis 4. Again in Genesis 49. Oh, we'll get to it. I'll show you. But Yahshua was prophesied, and of course he still hasn't received the position. If you remember, I showed you how Yada is lawgiver. Yada, the Levites, they're the ones it was turned over to. Remember the Levites? I'm a Levite. My mother and father both were Levites. They traced back to the tribe of Levi. Several others here are Levites. Many of you are Levites. Yeshua, he actually was bred, born, and lived a sinless life. Now get this, listen closely to me. He lived, he was born, he was bred to be sinless by mothers and fathers who taught him before he was born, because the scriptures were read to him while he was yet in the womb of his mother. Same with Yochanan. But Yeshua lived a sinless life. Now, Yahweh didn't have to pull him out of sin, but he showed that he could, that we, you and I, can actually have in the future, we can have children that will never sin. That's what he was showing you. That's what he is proving to you. And you children here, when you get married, you know, a man shall leave his father and his mother. Let me repeat that. A man shall leave his father and his mother. Can you hear that? And he shall cling to his wife. And they too will be in unity. They too will be in unity with Yahweh's laws. Well, that is possible. That's possible to do. And they can bring forth children that in unity. He showed us that. Now, he also showed us another Levite that, remember, Yeshua was a Levite, remember? Well, some people don't know that, but yes, he was. Well, he was sinless. Yahweh also showed us another one that he pulled out of deep, dark sin. Remember that song? Deep, dark sin. Another Levite, but he pulled him out. So Yahweh proved two things there. He can bring a person out of the world anytime he wants that person. Now, he can let him go back into the world if that person chooses, and he shows that throughout the Holy Scripture. He would rather you would stay, study the word of Yahweh till you memorize it, till you get the whole book of Yahweh in your head. And that takes some doing. You will be, if you practice hard enough, you'll be given your subconscious mind, and it'll be an easy thing to do at that time. But the one who opposes Babylon is a sinner that was pulled out of deep, dark sin that was partly responsible, that sin was responsible for the Catholic Church following Satan. And of course, what we're seeing today is we're seeing crusades today the same as it was back in early days in history. It started in the fourth chapter of Genesis. That's where your crusade started. It's plain as day. Anyone who taught Yeshua, which was Abel, was hated with an automatic hatred that came from Satan herself. Yahweh showed the two genes there, the many genes that brought forth, and they were both in Adam and Eve, both of them, and of course they came out in two different men there. And people think, well, these were just boys, but no, there's 140-something years old, 128 years old, been living, having children. The earth was pretty much, that land area there was pretty much populated. And yes, the children were being born by leaps and bounds by healthy people and who lived long ages at that time too. But in the Crusades, if you remember the Catholic Church, they was going down at one time. And then they started a force, a real force. They created them an army, as Daniel showed. This was the roving army. And it was in the days of the prophets, and Yahweh, Yeshua said to, Stephen said to them, the deacons, a deacon, Stephen, a deacon. This man was so up to date with the scriptures that these learned lawyers could not stand up to him. But they didn't study the Scriptures. These learned lawyers, if you remember, they studied the same thing that Gamaliel taught to the Apostle Shaul. It was a different set of traditions that were taught, and one of them was you couldn't use the name Yahweh. So when they heard you using the name Yahweh, it was automatic in Shaul's mind that you were blaspheming, and he did his God an honor. Yes, God was used then and Lord, not knowing, the Apostle Shaul didn't even know that these words were titles of men. Lord, like Unger's Bible Dictionary says, is a title of the rabbis, the well-known rabbis. They were called lords. And when they died, they deified them. What did they do to the popes today? What did they do with the Coptic religion in Egypt? There's more being told, you notice, about the Coptic religion now. The Coptic Catholics, they call them. Well, of course, that's where this religion came from, was Egypt. And in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt to worship these gods and, of course, the Queen of Heaven, as the prophet Jeremiah said. Well, today now, the Catholic Church is going to make a big move. She's being forced to. And she's saying to the world leaders, we need to resurrect the Roman Empire. Why? Well, they're making it look like that their spiel is, and they have a selling form of propaganda that they're dishing out to these nations. There's some articles I want to read, but I don't have time to read it today. But Russia now, the Pope is going to visit Russia. And of course, she's going to try again to persuade Russia. If you remember, Malachi Martin says, we're going to have trouble with Russia and China. And he says, Russia is a teddy bear right now, but she could turn into a grizzly overnight. Well, she has. And Putin said, don't fool with our religion. And then he said again, a grizzly does not have to ask permission. And they were wanting the Pope or the Catholic, the Vatican, to give them permission before they acted on anything, to do what the Vatican said. Well, he turned them down on both accounts. Well, now the Pope is trying again. And, of course, they may give him what they even call them, the gangsters that go and say, we'll protect your place. Mafia. They're much like the mafia. They'll give him a deal that he just can't turn down. And of course, they'll show him what's going to take place, like they've showed many politicians here in the United States and, of course, in other countries. If you do this, we're going to put you out of office. And, of course, they've put them out of office. They bring charges against them. You know, they have it all set up in advance to do so. They won't go down easy. Babylon will not go down easily. They're going to use the quartet, as the Scripture shows. They're already using it right now. The United States, what do you think, why do you think these trillions of dollars are being spent on weapons of mass destruction? And why do you think they're being sold to certain nations like Saudi Arabia and Israel, but now they got others that they're including? Why? These people have become the allies. What for? Great wealth. Well, now the news media and the intelligence from other countries are saying, what is it that's going to profit? What big organization is going to profit by the Palestinians becoming a state? See, this was the latest thing. The Pope recognized the Palestinians as a state. It doesn't exist yet, but it will. But why? And what? And the intelligence, they want to know, what big business is there here that's going to profit from this? Because they know what it's about. Hurt not the oil, of course. Well, if you remember, they discovered a huge oil field right there just off of the Palestinian state that don't exist. a huge underground oil system that could supply the world for so many years. Well, this is also included, you know, and the petrodollar is included, and all of this is shared, of course, like the Crusades. The Crusades, they were put on for money. And the popes would say, and this is history. I'm not lying to you about what it says in history. I've corrected a lot of history, but this is true history because too many people say the same thing, too many historians. The popes would come out and say, stop fighting among yourselves, meaning they was fighting among their own selves. If you remember in Israel, this went on. The tribes, when they left Samuel and got them kings, they wanted a king. Well, all of them didn't want the same king. So others got kings to fight their battles for them. So they all wanted to be protected or to build a tower so they wouldn't be scattered. So this particular group would not be scattered. They'd be their own group. Well, of course, they're finding out now that didn't work. All they created was a bunch of continual war among the kings, in the nation of Israel. Well, of course, as Israel spread to other nations, which he always said in Genesis 49 that it would spread to other nations. Take this profanity to all the world, to all nations. And then he said, I'm going to spread you out into all countries where I will scatter you, he said. Well, it wasn't him. He's just predicting this is what it's going to be. And that, of course, is what sets Yahweh apart from the gods. The gods cannot foretell the future. No god has ever been able to foretell the future. The only gods that were able to was the ones that a prophet of Yahweh told the future, and they went and told it to someone else. But they can't foretell the future, and neither could they tell what makes you sick and die. Satan says, no, you're not going to die. Apparently, she was too stupid to know that they were going to die, and this would put her to shame. But nobody remembered it. Why couldn't they remember that Satan said that? Why do they forget everything that Satan says, you know, and are lies? Because the world is full of lies. When they go to the Catholic Church, why do they forget the lies that she's telling right now? The lies of Halloween that is condemned in Isaiah 65:5, the lies of Christmas that's condemned in Jeremiah 10, the Queen of Heaven that is condemned in Jeremiah 44. I'm telling you the King James Version because there's many still got King James Version. I urge you to get the Book of Yahweh, and then you need the program, Yisrael Says program, and you can type in any subject, and in 5 minutes, you can have the answer to your questions. Yeah, it's that easy. Even I can do it. And I don't even know anything about computers. But it's very helpful. But they forget. They forget the Bible. They forget they can read something and hear the lies that is told, but they soon forget it. And the next generation don't remember anything about the generations before them. And this generation, they say, they're telling us now, and this is a true test now, but they say man's attention span, that is the children, the younger generation, is shorter than a goldfish. That's right. Their attention span is shorter than a goldfish. A goldfish, and they proved this, and showed the goldfish, I believe, went up to 6 points. Attention span. But the younger generation now that's pushing buttons and going through these things trying to find something they want to look at, their attention span is like 2 points less than a goldfish. Try studying the Holy Scriptures and you'll improve your attention span. If you'll just study out these subjects, yes, praise Yahweh. Well, we're in a generation now where they've got the people so weak that their attention span
I've already lost you, right, on some of you. And I have to keep pecking on the table like that once in a while, you know, to get your attention again. I know I've only got it for 4 seconds on some. No. Hopefully it's longer than that with you, all of you. Well, anyway, in today, remember, the one opposing Babylon. You're the one opposing Babylon. You're the creation of Yahweh, the called out ones to oppose Babylon. You're a small group that Yahweh said is going to become the largest group that he's ever called. And of course, we got the high priest, Yahshua, that is with us. That's all. He's this high priest over the house of Yahweh. He's not judging the nations. He's not helping or condemning the nations. He's holding up and witnessing, testifying for each of you. Now, he's well aware that you're here. Yahshua himself. He's your judge. He's working with you day and night. There were some things troubling me here a while back, and when people get sick in the house, I get terribly upset, and my sleepless nights come, and I can't. I'm hunting for answers. And this was bothering me, plus some other things. And then about a week ago, on a certain date that the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins will bring to your attention on the last great, on the, yeah, Pentecost. That's the last great day of this feast. He'll bring this to your attention. But on a certain date, Yahweh sent me a dream, and I knew it was of him. But the last thing before I woke up, and I woke up just a little bit before the alarm went off, but I had this dream that I was in a car driving. I was in a van, and I had a lot of people in this van with me, and we were in a hurry for some reason. I was going pretty fast, and I saw this intersection coming up with a lot of cross traffic, a busy intersection, a lot of cross traffic, and I mashed the brake to slow down and had no brakes. Well, if you were in that particular situation, you'd know you're helpless. It's a helpless feeling that you have when you are going too fast to slow down and everything is right in front of you. Well, I could also see a bunch of posts. They were posts about as tall as this podium, and they were large posts, like you see on the coast. And then in front of those posts, the posts, you had to zigzag to get through them, which I did. And then the cars got out of the way at the intersection. I went through this intersection, and then here was a concrete where the concrete was level and the ocean began. And here I was going 70 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, the car started slowing down and stopped. And in my mind, as I woke up, the words, "I'm in full control." Of course, I knew what Yahweh was talking about because I knew what I had went to sleep with that night that was bothering me so, and had a restless night. And of course, when I got that, I said, okay. And I didn't worry anymore. I've been more joyous ever since. Well, Yahweh can foretell the future. And he is in full control, and he's going to bring his house through. He's going to protect you just like he said he would. And this is, you just try to tell yourself, if you want to see how great Yahweh is, you know, he prophesied the increase in knowledge for this time period. He prophesied the nuclear bomb for this time period. He prophesied a nuclear war for this time period.
that is going to darken the sun, and that's what the Pope is relying on right there. And they're talking nuclear war right now, nuclear war with China, and even some of the news media are giving reports from politicians saying that the United States is trying to provoke them into, that is, Russia, into nuclear war, into a nuclear fight, and Russia is standing calm, of course. President Obama is not having anything to do with this. President Obama is hunting a peaceful solution for everything. I like the fact that he's wearing a kippah when he said that. Did y'all notice that? but also, he is hunting peace. But he brought on a lot of criticism of himself when he made these statements about the Crusades being like they were in the days when the Christians were killing all the people with these Crusades. The popes would say, come on, let's go kill this group out over here. We'll take their wealth, we'll take their land and everything, and we'll collect all this wealth and you'll all be rich. And of course, the most percentage of that went to the popes, went to the Catholic Church, the Vatican. And she started gathering her wealth, and she became stronger. Her army became greater. The great Roman army, which was already great, became greater than that. Well, she's going to try that again. That's her hopes of turning the quartet into the great Roman Empire again, where they kill off all their enemies. Now, they know they've got to do it this time. They can't do it with this, you know, this... sword turned upside down that they called the cross. They can't do it with the sword anymore. By this you shall conquer, remember? And they held this sword upside down and looked like the cross. That cross didn't represent Yahshua. It represented the Son of God that mythology said died. The Son of God died in Egypt, who they worshiped. These two gods, Jesus and Christ, that they translated, Jesus and Christ, the Pope says, the Catholic Church says, the catechisms of the Catholic Church says, we change the names to these two gods. Constantine chose these two gods and said, this is the God you're all going to worship. He couldn't even count to two. The Catholic Church still can't count to three. They're still saying that the Savior lied when he said he's going to stay in the grave 3 days and three nights. Remember Jonah. Now, there's also a picture taken of a whale, and you gotta remember all this. A whale blowing stuff out of his, whatever that thing is called, on his back. But he blows this cloud out, and my picture is in it. And one of the elders got this picture, or one of the news got it and sent it to us. And of course, it occurred on a certain date that the great Benjamin Krauss Hawkins caught. He caught that date. And he sent it at a certain time with my picture and some numbers and so forth. That's all going to be brought on the last great day. Don't miss it. It's great information. Well, it shows, and at that same time I was bringing a sermon now about Jonah. Haven't finished that sermon yet. It's a lot of information there about Jonah. He was a wonderful priest, a priest of Yahweh. And he had already prophesied and it had already come true in several places. And Yahweh sent him again and he didn't want to do it. He knew that Yahweh was going to change his mind. You know, I had these same thoughts back when I named the nuclear baby and gave the date that this was going to start. Well, I gave the date and everybody criticized, or many, many criticized. But it came true. That prophecy came true. It actually did start at that time. The very date that we gave, yes. And we got the news articles to prove it too. They come with the book now. The news articles proving that it actually did begin on the right on the edge of the river Euphrates, as Yahweh said it would. The great river Euphrates, even named the spot. And then a general single-handedly, the newspaper said, stopped the war. It didn't go any further than that. So he didn't even know it was Yahweh that did it, but we knew that it was Yahweh that stopped the war. Well, Yahweh's prophets prophesied against those who spoke by the authority of the gods and lords. We see that in Yeremia 23. If you will turn there, we'll get started in this sermon before tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow. I got a lot to show you tomorrow. But in Yeremia 23 now, you remember they told Yeremia, you prophesy any more to us in that name, in the name Yahweh, and we're going to kill you. That's in the first three chapters where they're threatening his life and almost killed him, you know, many, many times. Well, he went ahead preaching anyway. There wasn't nothing stopped the prophet of Yahweh. The one sent, Yahweh gave him strength to go. And praise Yahweh. In Yeremia 23, he says, woe to the pastors, shepherds, who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says Yahweh. Two things I want you to notice here. They destroy, and also the word sheep. Remember that. It's very important later to understand where the persecutions, the inquisitions started. Therefore, this is what Yahweh, the Father of Israel, says. Now, he's the Father of Israel, and he shows you who he's talking about here. He's talking about the 12 tribes he brought out of Egypt. These 12 tribes have come down now to 598 BCE. If you want to put that there by chapter 23, that's when Yeremia's time, where he wrote this book. That's the date. From there on, 598 BCE. Therefore, verse 2, therefore this is what Yahweh, the Father of Israel, says. Now, of course, they took the name Yahweh out, if you remember, catechisms of the Catholic Church, they admitted, they took the name Yahweh out and replaced it with Lord. Well, that's confusing, a little bit confusing, but you can still, even with the King James Version, you can tell what they did before you ever find out what the actual proof that they did it. Says against the pastors who feed my people. These people that he's talking to here was feeding the 12 tribes. So it shows they're in charge here, you see. They were in charge. They were in charge of the city, the temple, everything. Everything. They were in charge of it. These were Levites. Levites. Yahweh put them in charge of everything. You have scattered my flock. How did they scatter them? Remember, they wanted king. They wanted a king. And then another group wanted a king. And another group wanted a king. They wanted a mean king. One that didn't have sense enough. One that didn't have sense enough to keep from fighting. Did you know that anyone who strikes someone else with their fist, it demonstrates the lowest mentality, even lower than a goldfish? A goldfish will attack. Isn't that something? A sheep won't, but a goldfish will. Do you know what it takes to be like Yahshua told you to be? Are you listening? Yahshua said, turn the other cheek. He also says, don't ever hate anyone. Now, you can't hit someone without hating them. And this is the lowest mentality on earth when you start hating your brother. It takes you down to the lowest level where you're right at Satan's stage. When you're wanting to hit someone, or when you actually hit someone. Even wanting to hit someone, you're in danger of burning in hell. If you teach your children karate, what do you think you're teaching them to do? And this is the world's mentality. You see how far it's come down? It's almost ironic that they'd say they're following the Savior. Well, the popes know they're not following the Savior. In fact, they have cast him out years ago, him and Yahweh too. They know they're following a sun god, and they know that he held up a sword, and the Queen of Heaven who led him held up a sword upside down and said, "By this you will conquer." And that's what killed the crusaders. Took swords and they killed and they killed, and they kept murdering and murdering and murdering until the plagues almost wiped them out from it. Along with the Catholic Church and their army. And of course their diseases. Their diseases that they picked up along the way, because it's practicing sodomy all this time. The soldiers that run these crusades were almost all sodomites, if not totally 100%. And have not visited them. Behold, I am going to visit you. For the evil, you remember this word evil? Be evil like the gods, Satan said. That's what the Pope is doing. Be evil like the gods. That's what the Vatican teaches. Satan said to Eve in chapter 3 of Genesis and verse 5, be evil like the gods. You won't die. Your body might die, but you won't die. You're just going to float on to heaven and get that everlasting place in front of your Father. And, of course, the Queen of Heaven. These are the lies that she told, and still telling these lies. Well, this is the gods that the Vatican is following. Now, some people in the world, besides the house of Yahweh, know better than this. Because they studied the scriptures. The original start and history of civilization, and of course shows you the two trees, the house of Yahweh, the righteousness of Yahweh versus the evil of the gods. And that's why we're opposing Babylon at this time. The Vatican is bringing forth the wars of fighting. And you join Satan if you lift your hand to strike someone. If it even comes into your mind, you're joining Satan. Why don't you stop right there and just test yourself and see how much strength it actually takes to resist and tell Satan to get behind you. Are you strong enough to do that? It takes a lot of strength, righteous strength, to resist fighting and to obey Yahshua, who is your high priest and judge right now over the house of Yahweh. High priest and king. And he tells you, no, don't hate your brother. Love your brother. Love Yahweh with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And you let hatred enter in, you need to try to stop right then. Stop right then. Don't go any further. Don't touch the person. And see if you can actually do it. I'd rather slap myself than someone else. Won't you try that? The next time you want to slap your brother, slap yourself. Slap yourself hard enough to remember it. Not too hard, not knock your teeth out or anything. I'm just trying to get you to think. But notice here now, Yahweh's speaking to you. He says, he talks about these shepherds here that are shepherding the land of Israel who moved to Rome and moved all their stuff to Rome, then sent their general Titus to destroy the temple in 70 A.C.E., destroy the temple, remove all the stones. That was prophesied too. Yahweh actually prophesied that and said, Zion, Mount Zion's going to be plowed like a field. Yeshua prophesied and said there won't be one stone left on another. You think you could do that? No way. But the prophecy is there. The history proves it true. And we have Yahweh as our Father. That's us right now who calls you here. The one who can foretell your future. But and here he's talking about you, that he's gathering you. You thought you got here by accident? No, far from it. Like Yana was in the belly of the fish by accident? No. No. But verse 3, but I will gather. He's cast this group here aside and said, now here's what I'm going to do in history. This will be your next history that you're going to see. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they will be fruitful and increase. Fruitful. Remember that word too now. It has to do with the original prophecy of Yahshua. Be fruitful and increase. Well, that's what you're doing now. Where did you come from? You weren't in this land always. America wasn't even discovered until 1492. Where did your ancestors come from? I will gather you from all the nations where they have scattered you. He did that. He gathered you to the place that he prophesied the house of Yahweh was going to be established. Think of what a wonderful prophecy that is there. I told you about my ancestry and where they first came in Tennessee or Kentucky. I didn't know for sure. I just knew it was one of those states. And I don't know if they told me that as a child or what, but I do remember that part of it. And then I remember tales about my uncles that are ancestors who settled that land. They owned slaves at the time. And they treated them like brothers and sisters. I remember it. And they came to Texas with them when they migrated to this country. So a little bit of righteousness had to be in my bloodline somewhere. This is one of the things that separates people. Of course, everything separates the world today. Color, the language, the way a person combs his hair, the way a person ties his shoes or whatever, or the way a person speaks and the things he brings out, all of that separates people. You can find many thousands of things like Barack Obama's finding out. Don't mention Christianity in her crusades, you know, or you'll find out the hatred they still have, and now they want to kill Barack Obama. It wouldn't surprise me if they don't try. Well, that's the hatred in the world. You can't have that hatred. You've got to love one another. And you all came, you came from, of course, the sons of Noah. Noah and his sons. Noah is the one that built the ark, remember? You all came from that place. You were scattered into all nations. All nations, you, your ancestors I'm talking about, but you were gathered. And that's what Yahweh says he's going to do here. I'm going to gather the remnant of my flock. Now, that's speaking of a certain time period. You see that? I just told you, America wasn't discovered till 1492. The house and the one who would establish the house wasn't born until 1934. So he gathered your ancestors here. He gathered you. And he tells you when he did that. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all nations where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, speaking of the house of Yahweh in this time period. It's the only thing you can get out of this. You see that? It's Jeremiah 23, verse 3. Isn't that a beautiful prophecy? You see all of that, and in one verse, just in one verse, you get all that. Bring them back to their folds, and they will be fruitful and increase. In the house of Yahweh is the only place this could be, and you're going to be fruitful and you're going to increase. And I will set up shepherds over them. Now, this means counselors, of course. And as Deuteronomy tells you in 12, go to this place where I choose, and there I will give you counselors or priests, and they will teach you the law and do what they tell you to do. Do what your counselors tells you to do. Don't turn from it, from one side to the other. Why would he tell you that? Even if they're wrong, if you think they're wrong, you need to ask another counselor or ask me. And if we tell you the same thing that your counselor does, you got time to make up your mind. But you can obey your counselor and set your mind to do so. But if you have a thought that it's breaking Yahweh's law, come to Moshe at the top of the group. Remember, captains over tens, captains over fifties, captains over hundreds, and so forth. But Moshe always had the final decision to make. And he would tell the counselors, you're wrong on this if you're wrong. He'll tell them, you did right. Stand your ground. I will set shepherds over them. Shepherds. You got to remember this word shepherds now. Remember the word shepherds. That's also a prophecy of Yahshua Messiah. It helps you to understand that prophecy over them, who will feed them. They will feed them. What do we do here at the house of Yahweh? Don't you come here and eat? Do you come here and help us prepare the food to eat? If you don't, you're falling short. Help us. And they will fear no more, nor be dismayed. The only reason that you would stop fearing is to understand that Yahweh and believe what Yahweh says. I know we have enemies. Yes, some of them are even planted here today, I'm sure. Enemies in the house and sent here to spy and so forth. We've always had that going on. But there's no way you can fight Yahweh. He knows. As he assured me in this dream, I'm in full control. And they will fear no more, because you understand now you're prophesied to be here. And he says here that he's gathered you here. Neither will they be lacking, says Yahweh. Behold, the days come. Now this is all speaking of us. Behold, the days come, or will come, if you want to put it that way. The days will come, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David a righteous branch. Well, here's the word branch now. Most of you I know this word branch and know who it belongs to. Yahweh specifies in no uncertain terms that that's his last day's witness called the branch. And he gives it over and over and over in prophecy. A righteous branch. He didn't say somebody that taught evil. If you find me teaching evil, you know, which you won't, I won't teach evil. I don't stand up for it. I fight against it. I stand up for the laws of Yahweh. I don't add to them, nor do I take away from them. And notice a king, you see that? Verse 5, a king. Not the kings now of wickedness that ruled over the Crusades and stuff like this. Over the lands of Israel and their divided tribes that went to war and continuous war in Israel. A king will reign over them. You'd have to know the rest of the prophecies now, like Hebrews 1 and also Psalms and Revelations, where it says Yahshua is the king over the house of Yahweh, high priest and king over the house of Yahweh. And will reign and succeed this branch, and a king will reign and succeed. We're not going to fail. Did you get that? We're not going to fail. This thing is set ironclad. It will not fall. Not one of these. Search out the book of Yahweh and read. Not one of these will fail. That's Isaiah 31, 2. What is it? Isaiah, hold up your hands. What is it? 30 what? What is it? Isaiah 30 what? Hold up your fingers. Show me. How many can show me? And what verse? You got it this time? You going to remember it now? Reign and succeed, and will execute judgment and justice in the earth. I don't know if you caught that or not, but we're going to take over the governments of this earth, is what he's saying here. Did you get that? We, you and I. Yes, we will take over the governments. By teaching, by love, not by fighting in war. Not by a cross, a sword turned upside down. No, we're not going to conquer anyone with death or cutting or beating or fighting. Justice, we will bring judgment, Yahweh's judgments, and Yahweh's justice to the earth. Hey, brethren, Yahweh called you for a big job. It's nothing small about this job that He's got in mind for you. It's something that you really need to set your heart to. You really need to make up your mind. You're going to be exactly like Yahshua in every way, because he's the one that set us an example. He didn't sin. He's calling you out of sin. He's proved to you already that he can do so. You know, I'm the Levite in the last days that Yahweh has called out of deep, dark sin. He taught me the Holy Scriptures from a child. Maybe before I was even born, there was things put in my mother and dad that helped to bring me to wanting, desiring with all my heart to just, I could sit and study the Scriptures, and that would satisfy me. A day is 20 minutes long when I can study the Scriptures. It passes that rapidly. It seemed like, and somebody calls me and tells me it's 10 o'clock. And it can't be that time. I just sat down here about 5 minutes ago. But that's how your love will develop for Yahweh's Word. And the more you can study, the more you can put your mind to studying and nothing else, the better, the faster you will grow in this great knowledge. Whether you know it or not, your subconscious mind is taking this in, and it'll start feeding it back to you very soon. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!